We've talked a lot about kingdom, but we've not talked about it in this way. Three kingdoms leading up to the kingdom of God, the one Christ came to bring. And so in 2 Samuel, we see the first of many, the second king of Israel, David, anointed. And when your days be fulfilled, this is verse 12, 2 Samuel 7, you shall sleep with your fathers. I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of your bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the children of men, but my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Speak to our hearts. Let us be changed today by your word. Let us just tune in and hear truth revealed. In Jesus' name, amen. God gave David a kingdom. And of three kingdoms we'll talk about over the next few weeks, this first one that we had to talk about is the kingdom of David. And God gave David this kingdom, and he promised that it would be an eternal one. And through the future Messiah, this kingdom became established. David was promised by God that you will have a kingdom and it shall never end. God was not just talking about an earthly kingdom. He was not talking about the literal kingdom where David, at some point, he would die. It's appointed unto man once to die. But he's talking about the kingdom that was established from within David that would carry on through his line all the way to the kingdom that knows no end, the kingdom of God. And through that line, the Messiah came. And he brought us the true kingdom of God. That prayer that he prayed, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, your kingdom come. Why, he brought that kingdom to this earth and made it possible for us all believers to be children in his kingdom. But it all had to have a starting point. The starting point is here where David receives this promise of an eternal kingdom that will never be ended. It will be established forever as the throne of David. You'd be amazed how many times in the New Testament when people would speak to Jesus, they would refer to him as the son of David, the Messiah. When they said that, they were saying, I know you are the Messiah because you came through David. You came through that line. And they're saying, it's nothing bad. It's not a bad thing. But many times in the New Testament, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That's one of many examples. It's a good thing. It's saying, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you came through David's line. God gave David this promise. He was anointed. And the whole earth has been blessed by God's... The whole earth became blessed by David's kingdom, which leads us to God's kingdom. But through David, I thought we could just look at this first kingdom leading up to the Messiah, the kingdom that he brings. You know, in David we find some wonderful things, and we see the reflection of God's kingdom in David. Through David's line, Christ Jesus, the Messiah, comes to rule and reign as King of kings and Lord of lords. And there are at least three kingdoms that involve God's reign in the earth. And so for the next few moments, let's look at David's kingdom a little more. In verse 12, we find these words, when your days be fulfilled, you'll sleep with your fathers. I will set up your seed after you, which will proceed out of you, out of your bowels, through your line, and I will establish his kingdom. We see a promised kingdom. In David's example, in David's life, in David's rule as king of Israel. Second king. First was Saul. Saul messed up bad. And then Nathan comes and anoints the prophet David to become king over Israel. One is man's choice, another is God's choice. One looks like a king and the other doesn't seem qualified or equipped at all. But in David, we see a promised kingdom. Do you know God's promise to David was really an unconditional covenant between God and David that would inform David that one day, the Messiah, my son, my only begotten son, David, is going to come through you one day. That's going to happen. And that became known as what's known as an unconditional covenant, meaning that David did not have to be perfect for God to bring this to pass. David was not perfect, by the way. We all know he had his faults, didn't he? Shall we say blind spots? Many great men and women of God, they had struggles and they had problems and they were attacked, and many of them made poor choices, and all throughout history we see in the Bible where God does not just use qualified people, but he qualifies those whom he means to use. He qualifies those who has a heart after him. They don't look like they deserve the blessing or the covenant from God, but God sees this man not just as a little shepherd, young shepherd boy, but as a man after his own heart. And that's the kind of man God wanted from his line to come forth the Messiah. We see it so beautifully. Verse 12, I will establish his kingdom. Verse 12 is a promise, folks. It's a promise from God. So David knew from that point forward, for the rest of his life, all the scheming, the affair, all the plots, all of it, he still remembered up here, I've got a promise from God. It's an unconditional covenant. Thankfully, David did repent. David did get his heart right after the Lord. Even after he would fail, slip, falter. Even after he would get knocked down. Through repentance and through faith and God's promise, he says, I know who I am. I carry a promise from the Lord. I carry a promise from God. God has a promise for you today. I'm talking to every single one of you that's here. If you're here, you can mark this word down. You have a promise in you. You have a promise. God has a promise for you. And the lesson here in verse 12 that we see from the promise of God is that we have to trust that promise. David could have fallen and given up on the promise. Stopped trusting. But did he fail to trust God? No. He said, God, forgive me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Purge me with hyssop. Cleanse me. Forgive me. Wash me clean. And God did that. But he had to trust in the promise of God. If you've sinned at all this week, preacher, where are you going with this one? Maybe you haven't. I don't know. Maybe we need to ask your spouse. If you have sinned at all this week, if you're a believer, God sees you as righteous still. If you have sinned, we have an advocate, an attorney, Nathan, that fights for us. Amen. And our faith leads us to knowing without doubt that by Jesus Christ, there's a promise in me. There's a promise in me that the Messiah has put inside me his own eternal kingdom. Amen. His kingdom is here. You have a promise. You have a promise from God. Don't give up on that promise. Don't stop trusting that promise. David never did. Maybe he doubted time to time. He could have said that promise is gone. But see, the thing is, God doesn't look at things the way we do. God can make an unconditional covenant. We put strings attached. We put, you know, conditions on things. Not so with the Lord. God says, David, you're still my man. I've given you a promise. Here's the next thing about David's kingdom. Not only is it a promised kingdom, it was promised all, it's still promised. Because one day the Lord, sitting on the throne, will know of it as the throne of David still. But in verse 13, we read these words, "He will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." And notice that part, if you would just really kind of focus on that first part of the verse where it says, "He will build a house for my name." It was in the heart of David, these words, the rest of his life. And he thought for a long, long time, "I'm going to build God a house, a physical house. I'm going to build him a temple because I think he deserves to have the best place to abide. I want to build a house so that I could put the Ark of the Covenant inside. I want to build a house so that we can worship the Lord the way he deserves to be worshiped." He was the least qualified. Yet God said, "You will build a house for my name, and I'll establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Here's the thing. David always thought he didn't get to do it. His son did it. We'll talk about Solomon next week, by the way. But David, in his heart, he always thought, I've got a promise. I'm going to build something for the Lord. If you're going to build something physically, you have to know that this is an earthly kingdom. So not only did David have a promised kingdom within him, but he also had an earthly kingdom. This is very important because we all, as earth dwellers like David was just a man of the earth. David was not perfect. David fought as a young shepherd boy before he ever faced Goliath. He knew what it was to be able to use a slingshot and take out a bear, take out a wolf, take out a coyote. He knew how to defend his flock. He knew how to fight. Before he was ever a real warrior facing off Goliath, he already knew how to use that weapon. He had learned the principles of the earth, that as a shepherd I must protect. He was very much a man of the earth. He fought Goliath, huge giant. As a young shepherd boy, the armor didn't even fit him. But he goes out there and faces this Philistine army, and he just advances on Goliath and takes Goliath out, takes his head off. This is the Lord's doing. But it was an earthly kingdom. He was a warrior. Yet David was fully human. This amazes me how that being fully human, God would still endear his glory to him. You would think, no, not this man. This man can't, he doesn't deserve to be responsible over the Ark of the Covenant. Yet God looked at this earthly human man, full of weaknesses, blind spots, yes, full of strengths as well. But he was by no measure perfect in any way. He did fall at times. He did have his battles. He did have issues that men and women have. He was also the leader of an earthly kingdom. And what amazes me, while David was fully human, God still said, "Here's my ark." And he was able to care over that holy expression of the Shekinah, visible, manifested presence of God. What does that say to us? It means that God has endeared himself to you. He has given himself to you. He has given his best care for his people. He gave his best care to David. He forgave him at his lowest, picked him up from the bottomless pit, absolutely changed his life, gave him hope, gave him courage, gave him a promise. David did all those things. But it's amazing, the lesson here is you just need to realize God loves you like he loved David. But you're still, at your best day, an earthly person. You're a spirit being. I know you're spirit. But you're also, God knows our frame. We're but dust, the prophet says. He knows our frame. We're just flesh and bones. And one day when we die, this body is just going to go back to the dust. It's nothing. One day that's going to happen. But you will live on. You will not die in Christ. You will not die. David was very much attached to an earthly kingdom. He was the literal king over Israel. He was the ruler, the commander. He fought victoriously. occupied Jerusalem, expanded the kingdom. It was a very high moment for Israel in their history. But the thing is, David, what I think God loved about him so much is David was just himself. He said, all you people see me as some mighty warrior. I'm just a shepherd trying to defend my flock. Folks, you need to be yourself. I said you need to be yourself. In Christ, there's a kingdom that lives in you. There's a kingdom that we are part of. But you need to be yourself. The Bible says to not think more highly of yourself than you ought to. That means, who am I in Christ? Ultimately, hey, I'll live forever. But right here in this life, there's battles. I'm part of an earthly kingdom. I'm just a man, just a woman. Developing closer and closer to Jesus each day. David knew so well before he even knew what it was, the doctrine of Christ. That one day this glorious mystery, what is the doctrine of Christ? It's where that Christ Jesus, by the grace of God, comes down and decides to, by faith, live inside of people. We don't deserve that. We're dust. God gave us what we didn't deserve to make us righteous. Here's the last thing about David's kingdom. It's a righteous kingdom. Verse 15, but my mercy, that's the word, my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before you. God declared David's kingdom righteous. And was David always righteous? We know he was not. But guess what? He always received God's mercy. You know, I think there are a lot of people affected because they don't feel good enough. They don't feel called enough. They don't feel spiritual enough. Take, for example, I jokingly asked you, anybody sinned this past week? Well, ask your spouse. That was a joke, cutting up, funny, ha-ha, you know? But the fact of that is that people could come in on a Sunday morning and have things that are weighing them down all throughout the week, and it can affect your praise. It can affect your worship. It can affect how you feel about yourself. It can affect how you feel about the people you're with. And I know we put our shoes on and all that and get on Sunday morning and get in there, but what's going on the inside may not look anything like what's going on the outside. David had his battles. He wasn't always righteous. But there came a time where David had to encourage himself in the Lord. He had to stir himself up because he was part of a righteous kingdom, even though he himself did not always do righteous acts or things. I'm just saying all that because at your best day, you still need God's mercy. You could come into this place and think ill of everything going on and just be at a because of things going on throughout the week, you just negative and bitter, and he says, lift your hands and praise the Lord, and you maybe do it, but you're like, man, inside I'm just, you know. You ever been there? You ever been there? Don't forget this. The whole point of this at verse 15, my mercy will not depart away from him. Even when you feel like you don't deserve it, God still gives his mercy to you. If you deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy. It wouldn't be grace. David didn't deserve it, but he had a promise that was without condition on the inside of him. He was part of a righteous kingdom. David reigned over Israel, and all throughout his rule, he did to the best of his ability, he did look after his people. And he did the best he could to administer justice and equity. He fought for his nation. He fought for his people. There's no question about that at all. And the reason he was able to do that is he was anointed. And he learned the value of anointing. Way back at a young age, he learned the value in that. And God put his anointing on David so that he could lead this righteous kingdom. And I think I'm preaching to the choir, but I'm just going to go ahead and say this anyway. I think every single one of you know that if the Holy Spirit has anointed you for such a time as this and for a purpose. Jesus said these words, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. Well, we can say the same thing in Christ Jesus. He's anointed us. And I can't lead without him and without this anointing. And I can't serve without this anointing. And I can't be drawn close to him without that anointing. Your admission is correct. We cannot. But he anoints us because he's called us to be part of a righteous kingdom. It's not our righteousness, it's his righteousness. You still with me this last moment or two? Through Christ, you have been marked. You have been anointed. What is this anointing? It's nothing real complicated. It is just that God has given you his Holy Spirit through Christ Jesus. Because there's a reason you're living. For David, the reason he was alive, many reasons, but the main one was he had to come into this world so that the Messiah can come from him down the road 1,000 years later. That's what had to happen. Why are you here? Why are you still here? Because God's got a promise on the inside of you. One day you'll be done on the earth and the Lord will call you home. But don't give up before that time. Somebody needs to hear this. Through Christ you've been marked. Marked. What does that mean? It means you've been anointed to live for him. Made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What is the lesson in this verse, in this point for us? To be Christ-like, to be righteous, to be a son, a daughter of God, be a child of God. To live that way, knowing that you have a father that still loves you even when you've had a bad week. Amen. I'm not saying grace is cheap, but I'm saying grace is, we just don't, not one of us deserve it. Nary one of us. Like, what language is that? You'll figure it out. Nary one of us deserves the grace of God. In David, we see a promised kingdom, an earthly kingdom, but we also see a righteous kingdom in Jesus' name. Will you pray with me as the musicians come back to close us out here in just a moment? David is an illustration of promise. And while we pray, I'm going to ask you to commit to trusting God's promise through Christ. I said that about you may have come here and have had a rough week, a difficult week. Maybe you've heard things, you've experienced things, you've just had a difficult time. Well, I'm telling you, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And I believe the Spirit of God is here right now. I believe with all my heart, the Spirit of the Lord is here right now. He's here. He's here to assure you there's a promise through Christ Jesus that we don't deserve Him. We don't deserve heaven. We deserve hell. We deserve guilt. We deserve punishment. But in Jesus' name, Christ Jesus came to give us life, to make us part of a righteous kingdom. In Jesus' name. David is an illustration of promise. I want every single one of you today that can, this resonates with you, I want you to commit to trusting God's promise through Christ. You say, well, I've already done that. I'm saved. That's not what I'm saying. If the enemy cannot attack what Christ has done in you, and we know that he cannot win that battle. That battle's already been won. But if he can attack the promise of God in you, then he'll do that every day if we let him. He'll do that every single day. He'll fight it. We'll fight it ourselves. And we start questioning. Well, I don't deserve the goodness of God. I don't deserve the blessing of God. Do you know a lot of people fear failure? A lot of people fear failure. Come on, somebody. But do you know that people also fear success? I mean, what's going to happen when God starts blessing me? And you talk yourself out of the promises of God. What's going to happen when I receive when I'm anointed and I'm able to minister and people start getting healed and all that? And you just start going down this horrible road. And I don't know which one's worse, fearing the blessing or fearing the curse. I'm telling you, sometimes you need to remind yourself like David, I don't care what's happened. God still has a promise in me that came through the Messiah. It came through Jesus. It came through the gospel of the kingdom. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And you just got to tell yourself that. Every once in a while, you got to just have a come to Jesus meeting with yourself. And say, now self, I'm telling you, you get thee behind me. Because my God has made me a promise. Through Christ, the only way. He's made me a promise. Some of you can think of things. I know I can see it. I can see it as plain as day. Some of you think things are popping up right now, like in your memory or something, and you're like, oh yeah, God promised me that 25 years ago. And I want to encourage you this morning, you just hang on another 25 years, if that's what it takes. Because the promise is still there. The promise is still in you. Some of it you're like, yeah, God has promised me this in the past, and I didn't see it, and you felt like giving up. And then you look back and say, wow, look what God did. Look what the Lord did. His promise came true. There's a promise living on every single one of you. It's through Christ Jesus, the only way to the Father. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And my question, last time I'll ask this, I think I've asked it two or three times already. I want to ask you to commit to trusting God's promise today. Like David, remember it. Jesus, I pray for every single one who this question just really hits them. And they get it. They get the question. I pray that the response would be, Lord, I will forever trust you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. My promise is still in you, Peter. My promise is still there with you. It's not about you, what you've done or haven't done. It's about trusting my promise that I put in you. Some of you have a promise that you're going to preach that hasn't happened like you thought it would. Some of you have other promises. You haven't received them. They're coming in the name of Jesus. You just go ahead and encourage yourself today. There's a promise, but you've got to find, you've got to see where faith, it's not just in the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary, but faith in the living promise of God that's within you. If you need to come down this morning, just come right on right now as we sing this last song. If you need to come, if you need prayer for something, if you need to just give it all to the Lord, if you need to surrender to His promise, you say, well, I've done that for weeks in a row. Doesn't matter. Do it one more week. If you need to come, maybe you want to stand in the front or kneel, whatever position. If you feel in the Lord saying, just go up there. Just go up there. Then do it in Jesus' name. Just do it right now. And if you're not moving, I want you to pray for people around you. God's dealing with their heart. God's dealing with this trust issue. They could have been like a David, just messed it all up. But God doesn't see it as messed up. It's part of His redemption plan. It's part of His redemption plan. You just let God show Himself faithful. He will, but you just stand by and trust the promise. Wait on the Lord. David had to. This is a kingdom. David had to. Almost done. A few more minutes. Let's press through. God, speak to your people. Speak to your people. If you need prayer, this is the time. If you need to come, just come. Lord, I want to trust you. I want to trust you. I want to be a David, trusting in your promise. Victory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. love being in your presence. Bible tells us we are all as believers encouraged to be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. I can tell you, we come into this place and it becomes easy here to say yes to the promises of God. But when you walk out there, there's an enemy that, like a roaring lion, he's seeking whom he can devour. And he's trying to devour the promises of God in you. Don't let that happen. Amen? Can we just agree together? That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Not today, Satan. The saying goes. But in this place, I feel like people have honestly and genuinely just said, yes, I trust in the promise. And I see we're, you know, much like David, we're not perfect. We've had faults and different things we've had to work through. But it's a thing of the heart. It's a condition of the heart. And in our heart, we must know, I can trust in what Jesus Christ did. I can trust in the promise of God that is in Christ. I can trust in that. And don't let Satan have an inch. Don't let him take anything that doesn't belong to him. The promises of God belong to you. Just like David's promise belonged to David, David's promise from God belonged to David for the rest of his life. Nobody could take that away. Arguably, he couldn't even give it away. It's unconditional. It's a covenant. God said it, marked him, anointed him. Messiah would come. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Be blessed. Be blessed to stand.